And this maybe goes back to this idea of what a sonic rhetoric leads us towards.
Yeah.
Are these moments of dissonance and harmony. And this, I guess I like, maybe you can help me riff on this a little bit because I'm riffing here at the end.
No, I like it.
But again, just this idea that the sonic, well, that rhetoric in general operates at this much greater level than the discursive and the symbolic, but that it is indeed embedded within the places that we inhabit, the people that we interact with, the things in our pockets. You know, I have several pictures that night from my phone that I took.
And I think the combination of all of that is part of why we love this study, why we love this field. I mean, both of us are going to be students of music and players of music no matter what area we're in. But I think it's important that we decided to work in rhetoric and to insist that other parts of ourselves, that embodied affect, got invited into it as well.
Exactly.
I think that's why sonic rhetorics are important. It is a reminder of how we can invite everything in more than just words into our lives.
Yeah, well, and just to go off that a little bit, I think that, you know, if you start to look at the ways that that sound scholars are dealing with and in rhetoric, we have folks who do work in music, you know, and Kyle and I tend to be interested in music. I'm interested in archival work and history, but we also have people that are interested in social movements. We have people who are interested in sound and glitch. We have fantastic work coming out on sound and deafness.
Sound art.
And we also have wonderful work in soundscape and kind of embedded sonic environments. All of these, like sound itself is wide open for the kinds of study that are invited by Rickard and an ambient approach.
I love that word, invited by. We're essentially invited to do this kind of work through this book. It's almost a, hey, please take the next steps. And sound is a clear part of that.
And rather than closing off sonic studies as one kind of rhetorical work, it literally and radically opens it up.
I think that's a good place to end.
I do too.
We'd like to thank Composition Forum for inviting us to do this review. Or like to thank University of Illinois for allowing us to use this studio to record this in.
Thanks also to Thomas Rickard.
Right.
Yeah, Shure Microphone also. Shure Microphones.
Can I say, like, John Stone exclusively uses Shure microphones and whatever cymbals.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. And now I need to find a mastering engineer who can make this as loud as possible. We need to enter the loudness wars full throttle, ready to take on the world with the sound.
Yeah. All right, folks. Turn it up. We'll see you next time.
Rock and roll.